The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. It's a good time in America to talk about George Soros. And I'm certain that after I publish these episodes, these will be called anti-Semitic. And yet my guest is a Jew. She's written the new book, The Soros Agenda. Her name is Rachel Ehrenfeld, and she's done an extensive amount of research on George Soros. And that's not easy to do, because so much of what he's said and written is in foreign languages, is been published in other countries. And quite frankly, he gets a pass by the left in this country, by the media in this country. Google him sometime, and you will think that any criticism of George Soros is just a right-wing conspiracy theory. Try it. Fortunately for us, we have a woman who is very, very knowledgeable about George Soros and wants to tell us about how he has influenced, quite frankly, the rot in Western civilization. Rachel Ehrenfeld has written this book, and she is our guest next.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
Rachel Ehrenfeld, welcome. It is a privilege to have you on. This is a topic that I've been so curious about for so long, and so I'm excited to dive in about George Soros. You know, it's interesting to me that you could write a book about a man who, when I go online and I try to search for George Soros, everything I get is sort of positive. Or the other part is conspiracy theorists say that George Soros dot, dot, dot. It seems to me it would be very difficult to research this man. So how did you do it?
Very carefully and over a long period of time. And not actually searching too much online, but having real documents in my hand, speeches that he had given, articles that he had published, statements that he had made, that were published not only in the United States, but all over the world in different languages too. I had the original documentation, and I verified everything. The book has been heavily, heavily and thoroughly vetted. There are 100 pages of text, and the rest, the book is 280 pages. The rest of it is references.
Wow.
So I've been very, very careful, and I cite Soros himself a lot because I thought it would be good to show, this is about his agenda.
Right.
What did he say? What were his plans? How did he go about it? What did he say about how to implement it? And really showing what he has been doing all these years, and I started very early on.
Well, I kind of want this to be, in a way, George Soros 101 for my listeners and me, because a lot of people hear the name and don't know a whole lot. He was born in Hungary, right?
He was born in Budapest. In Budapest in Hungary in 1930.
Right. And was Jewish, correct?
Yeah, he was born into a Jewish family. He made statements later. He declared himself as agnostic.
Okay.
And but he has been using, since he became active, and there was criticism, started to be criticism about his political actions, he decided that, oh, wonderful, I will use the religion I was born into, which I really don't like, as a shield against my critiques.
Yes.
So everybody automatically, it's a very smart strategy. Everybody who dared criticizing him was instantly labeled as anti-Semitic.
I can tell you firsthand that little old me posting something on X on social media that questioned George Soros or suggested that he donated to a certain fund that didn't really help society. That's putting it mildly. I was called anti-Semitic.
Well, so, I'm Jewish, and I was born and raised in Israel. I am an American citizen as well. But nobody claimed yet that I am anti-Semitic, not on his side. However, I have been, there was a lot of pushback from, unfortunately, there are many Jews who have been supporting the very lefty Democrat Party for a very long time. And I mean, in that media, I mean, it's Jewish media, you would think that you can actually publish information about how George Soros is actually contributing to the increase of anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And encouraging it, and actually funding organizations that hate Israel, that want to see the Jewish state of Israel completely destroyed and kill all the Jews. He funded these such organizations directly and indirectly. You would think, and if they are very lefty, if they are Americans, you would think that they would be interested in seeing, well, what the hell, you know, who is responsible for all the open borders policies that we
Right. So many policies.
Crime in the streets and drugs. You would think that they would be interested, but no. Their curiosity stops at that point. Writing this book, I have seen since now because of the war, because of Hamas, because Hamas attacked Israel, and because of the really explosion of anti-Semitism in the United States, which he helped to promote as well, there is more information about him. And I see when people, friends, send me all kind of notes. You see, here is somebody today, somebody published something about how he funded the Iran lobby during Obama, when Obama made this horrible deal with Iran. And in 2015, how he was actually encouraging and paying for the Iranian lobby. I said, well, yeah, I've written about it before. Mm. I mean, you can find it in my book, right? But apparently people didn't pay attention. Don't pay attention now either.
I'd like more people to pay attention, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. When he was 14 years old, he fled Hungary.
He left Hungary when he was 17, actually.
Okay.
In 1947.
Okay.
He was 14 years old when the Nazis took over Hungary. And he and his family adopted different identities. But he said in different books and articles and interviews that he had given that he was actually very glad because he didn't look Jewish. He was blonde and blue-eyed. It's fine. But his father... a new and Nazi official, a Hungarian Nazi, who went around and identified Jewish property for confiscation. And of course, the people who owned this property, the Jews, not only the property was confiscated by the Nazis, but the Jews were sent to concentration camps or shot into the Danube. So they were killed. Soros, the 14-year-old, went along with this. He said the story was that he's his godfather or something like that. And so he went along with him to identify, when he identified Jewish properties. And he was asked by Steve Kroft in 60 Minute, the infamous interview, didn't he feel guilty about doing this? Not at all. This was the most exciting time of his life. And that actually, he said, also shaped his character.
Shaped his character.
We can see that now. We have seen it since. Croft had asked him first, okay, so still you didn't feel guilty? He said, no, if I wasn't doing it, somebody else would have done it.
So he was an opportunist, really, from the get-go.
He was 14 years old, and although 14 years old then, certainly not 14 years old today, but he knew what he was doing. Okay, so he survived. Since then, and Croft asked him, No, he didn't apologize. He never said that he regretted what he that may would have been nice not to do it, that he's sorry, apologizing, nothing. So that's, that's what shaped his character.
Well, you would think that a 14-year-old boy would be shaped by that for sure, but this is an unfortunate direction he was shaped. When he did flee to the UK, so you're saying he was 17?
He went with his father in 1947. He went to attend an Esperanto conference in Basel, in Switzerland. And I actually have the list of the people who participated in this international Esperanto conference, which his father was a big fan of, Soros as well. And from there, he moved to... he went to the UK. Initially, he wanted to go to the Soviet Union. But his father, said, no, you should go to the UK. So that's where he went. And then he enrolled at London School of Economics.
Yeah.
And he studied there. Yeah.
And made a fortune as a capitalist, correct?
He did. He became a banker, a currency, worked in finances. He became a currency speculator. And he came to the United States. And while his business was based here, the headlines were he raided the Bank of England. What he did, he devalued the British pound. It was before the EU and the one currency. And he devalued the British pound. And most people in England, their mortgages went up. They devalued the currency. It affects many people. There are different stories that he made $1 billion. No, he made much more. He made, as far as I was told, by people who were part of the British government at the time, that he made somewhere between 10 billion to 20 billion pounds. Well, there is a big difference there from 1 to 10 or 20, right?
Yeah.
He made a lot of money. And he didn't make, it was not really his genius. There was a choice to currencies in Europe. The economy was a little bit in upheaval. And the choice was either to devalue the German, the Deutsche Mark, or to devalue the pound. And apparently the choice was to devalue the pound. And I think that Soros was chosen to do that.
Chosen by whom?
But that's a good question. And I asked these questions in the book when he made also money in instances where everybody else in the market was losing money in other occasions. And he knew in advance, he had some tips about, some people called it luck. It was not luck. So he was able to make a lot of money. He is not the richest person in the United States, never been. But again, the reports on his wealth and how much money he made, he had, how much money he spent on different things is very opaque. And if you looked at the Open Society Foundation's website, I don't know, 7 years ago or 6 years ago, the website said that he had, I don't know, he invested about $32 billion in the Open Society Foundations, etc., or that he made something like that. But the figures didn't change. However, it has been reported that he bought stock, sold stock. He made a lot of money. And he had given many more billions of dollars to all kinds of things. So the whole thing is very opaque. You say that, you know, people are saying, well, he has this, he has that, don't rely on it.
It's that's what's so difficult about this story, that I think it's so much unreliable information on him, because there are so many people who benefit from keeping it opaque. So he has this Open Society Foundation, which sounds lovely, by the way.
Yeah, it's very Orwellian. It's very Orwellian.
What is the goal of this Open Society Foundation?
Well, initially he said that this was named, he borrowed this name from the philosopher Karl Popper, with whom he was a student in one of his courses at the London School of Economics. And he said, this is a good title, so I can actually name my organization Open Society. At the beginning, it was Open Society Institute, and it became Open Society Foundations. It has many, 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 many arms. Supposedly it's to promote democracy, because Soros was under German Nazi occupation and under communism. And what Popper was preaching was individual freedom above all. That's not what Soros is doing, and that's not what Soros's goal is. And he, and many things, if you look at, and if you see what the agenda and how he implemented it, still working, his son is implementing now more, it's actually doing everything in order to shut down individual freedom, close society, or really tribalize it by race, by gender.
We see that happening right in front of us, don't we? And we can...
We are living through it.
We're living it, and I just wonder why. Like, what is George Soros and his son Alex, what do they get out of this? Turmoil, for sure.
Besides personal satisfaction, I don't know. They are pushing this. George Soros is megalomaniac, okay? He himself says that he thought of himself as God, and when he actually made a lot of money, he started to live it out. And boy, leave it out, he did. He really thinks that he knows better than anybody about everything. And what he did with his philosophy was really, he says that he is an unacknowledged philosopher. He developed his own theories, which if you read them, it's really cruel and unusual punishment. It is, and I had to read everything. And it was cruel and unusual punishment. There is so much mumbo jumbo. There are so empty words that really, sentences that don't mean anything.
Sounds like some politicians I know today. What we like to call word salads sound like a lot of terminology that gets us nowhere.
I think that actually if you put him next to Kamala Harris, I think she would sound very intelligent.
that's not good.
But he has this accent, so I have an accent too. But because he became so rich, and because he used his money to influence politicians and to pay, and apparently American politicians don't cost that much. He sounds European. He was able really to influence all kind of politics. And also he had apparently, again, I asked the questions, on whose behalf was it? Of course, it's globalist. We know that. But at the beginning, and as you pointed out, he made money because of capitalism. But it's capitalism for me, not for thee.
Right. Right. Which is kind of what the World Economic Forum is all about, yes. Isn't it?
Yes. That part of it as well. Yeah. And also, he's been using really George Orwell's newspeak, if you want, because everything is the opposite. And also Brave New World.
Yes.
Which is really, and I recommend to read.
I do too. People read Brave New World. It's astonishing to me. Here, I read it in the last couple of years, and I thought, oh my God, this is what's happening right now. And yet this book was written decades ago. I was astonished by that.
And we were given Soma, the equivalent of Soma, which this is the drug that everybody was taking in the dystopian government, whatever world that is described in Brave New World. And now everybody can take cannabis or whatever drug they want. Actually, nobody will do anything about it, right? That's the gift that Soros, everybody can thank Soros.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You have said that that's really where he started trying to influence public policy, was with marijuana and legalizing
marijuana. Initially, it was all drugs.
Okay.
But there was a pushback from Arizona. And why did he take drugs? In 1992, 3, 4, even 5, if you said, let's legalize drugs, people looked at it. It was unacceptable. It was unthinkable. But now, you know, what's the problem? Yeah, it's okay. And drugs is supposed to be what? You are given now all kind of antidotes in order to be able to take more drugs and drug paraphernalia so that you can take more drugs, and they are selling drugs everywhere. This is really, and he managed to call it also, here is Orwell again, harm reduction. No, it's increasing harm, okay? It's not reducing the harm. It's increasing the harm and convincing more people to take drugs instead of fighting and really punishing people and giving educational programs like we had it during the Reagans, say no to drugs.
Just say no. That commercial, Rachel. This is your drug. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs with the egg.
Absolutely.
That was seared, no pun intended, into my mind forever.
Yeah, I recall it too. And what he did, and when he came up, why did he choose that? Because that was really something unthinkable, and unacceptable. And he wanted to see with that. He tried to see how much he can push the American public, how strongly the Americans will hold on to their values, okay, to their principles. Well, he chose something good because drugs, you know, many people, there was a drug culture here before during the 60s, right?
Yes.
And the 70s. So, but for him, it was really an attempt to see, the first attempt to see how far can he push. So he decided to do that, and he succeeded. But he didn't go to Congress to try and lobby to change the drug laws. No, he decided to do it, and that was really his. He developed it very well. Since he decided to go to cities, to states, locally, and start changing, pay local politicians to an activist, and he created and paid for different organizations that will promote it to change the laws in the city, in the state. So that's what he has done. And by now, what, there are 39 states in the United States that are permitting the...
have legalized marijuana, right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for recreational too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, and now it's also, and of course, medical marijuana. And there is no medical marijuana, by the way, because there, even today, the FDA had approved only four medicines that have been developed from the effective ingredients of marijuana, from cannabinoids that make up the that is in the plant. Only four. And and whatever they are selling has high, very high quantity of THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol, which affects the brain, and people are, I mean, it's a very strong drug. Mm-hmm. It should be only for whatever they are selling. It should be only 3% tops, but they are selling it in some places 75% to 90% tetrahydrocannabinol. You lose your judgment, you lose your, I mean, you are really, and you are enslaved. So when he started actually promoting it, he said, well, marijuana is not addictive. And even then he knew there was plenty of research done by then to show that marijuana can be addictive and can be a getaway for other drugs.
Right.
And but he went ahead and he did that. And when Obama became president, and he, of course, supported Obama big time, Obama did not speak about legalizing marijuana, but he encouraged the attorneys, the federal attorneys in the United States, not to go after marijuana crime, after drug crimes, actually. And he actually spoke about it, that how slowly he actually spoke on behalf of the Soros plan to go locally, to try and change the laws locally, so there will be enough pressure from states on Congress that eventually Congress will change the laws too. And this is what is happening today. That's what they are trying to do. I'm not sure that Biden will not actually legalize, will reschedule. Marijuana is scheduled now as a dangerous drug like heroin. And they are very, the Soros people and all the drug legalizers and Democrats are pushing to reschedule the drug so it will be not a dangerous drug, but it will be like, I don't know, buying Tylenol.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, it's going to be.
So he's
focused on that part. And as you said, really to, I mean, this sounds like a stretch, but to kind of put people in a stupor, just to kind of,
right.
just to kind of dupe, numb the mind of Americans.
He duped absolutely. He duped Americans to dope themselves.
Okay. So then,
and this is
go ahead.
This is costing the economy hundreds of billions of dollars in workplace accidents, in road accidents, in crime, in all kind crimeless because now they are not being prosecuted, right? But people are dying from fentanyl,
yes.
And fentanyl, although Soros is not the one who is bringing fentanyl to this country, but he helped to create the atmosphere and the culture that, hey, anything goes. And if you use drugs, it's fine. You know, it's not your fault. We will help you, actually. We can give you free drug paraphernalia, and we will give you something if you take, actually, too much heroin or fentanyl or something, then you can have, everybody should have something, you know, in order to resuscitate you. I mean, this is outrageous.
We're going to have more with Rachel Ehrenfeld. We started this discussion with her and it's so in depth. We've heard now how Soros wanted to legalize marijuana and more drugs in the United States and why. Now that leads us to the question of the border and why it's become flat out open. And where is George Soros' involvement in that? Rachel Ehrenfeld will join us again next time to discuss. And until then, be brave and do good.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.